Hi, this is Randy, and this is the first of our special ATX Fest coverage. I did a lot of interviews and red carpet kind of interviews, that kind of thing. And this one is the red carpet from Thursday night.
Thursday night. This is Grant,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, Grant's here, too.
Hey.
And he was there, too, on Thursday night when we did.
In camaraderie.
Yes. And I needed you because, as it turns out, the Thursday night red carpet was outside.
Yeah.
In, like, 90-degree heat.
Ooh. Right, it felt a good 110.
Right in the sun. I, a bald man, had forgotten my hat.
You were roasting. I showed up a little late. You were already there, and you were just dripping sweat.
Yep.
I was like, ugh. You're supposed to interview people?
But, yeah, so...
All these pretty celebrities. And
so some of these interviews were a little bit short because they were staring at the sun, and I wanted to let them off the hook.
Yeah.
But I did talk to people from Dusk Till Dawn, Girl Meets World, the web series Teachers, and the two creators of the Fest.
Oh, Emily and
Caitlin.
Caitlin.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So you will hear those interviews in this segment, and I hope you guys enjoy them. So we are here with
Katie O'Brien,
Katie Thomas,
Kate Friedman,
and we are the Katie Dids.
Okay, so I was curious. The Katie Dids, I don't know anything about this, but we noticed, okay, they're all named Kate or Katie or Caitlin. So what are the Katie Dids?
The Katie Dids, we are a six-member sketch comedy / improv group originally from Chicago. We're all named Katie or some derivative of Catherine. And we did a web series called Teachers that's been picked up by TV Land, and then we'll premiere in January for series.
Great. My daughter's actually named Katie, so in about maybe in about 10 years. So my mom's a teacher, and I'm curious what led you guys to do Teachers as a basis for a series?
Well, it was something we felt like everyone could relate to because pretty much everyone has had a teacher, and pretty much everyone knows a teacher. It feels like everyone we know says like, oh, my sister's a teacher, or my best friend's a teacher. And so it was very relatable. I think it also felt right for our age group of women. It's a woman-dominated profession, so it felt really appropriate for us. And it also kind of provided a nice, bright, cheery background for us to put our dark spin on. It was a nice contrast. Works for comedy.
All right. One last question. We've seen some web series moving to, like, Broad City is a big example of. So what are some of the challenges and some of the exciting things about moving from web series to TV land?
Well, there are a lot of challenges moving from web to TV, mainly just believing with it enough to stick with it, to see it through to the next step and the next step and the next step. When we set out to do our web series about 3 years ago, we just intended to make a really good web series. And then once we saw how it came out, we knew we wanted to do more with it. And we were lucky enough to get hooked up with TV Land through William Morris. And they've been so accommodating to our humor, and they've really given us free rein to keep it as much as the web series as possible. So we've had kind of like the best case scenario from web series to TV I think I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenges was just structure, I think was our biggest challenge, of going from a 2-minute, even 30-second webisode to 20-some minutes. So that was definitely a challenge. And again, the network, TV Land, was unbelievably helpful with us. They offered a lot of advice because we're newbies, and they were very helpful. So I think that was another challenge, and also just making our characters a little different from the web series so that they could be different enough from each other to show a broad range of characters for a show.
Great. Yeah. Well, I want you guys to get out of the sun.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So much.
Okay, we're here talking with
Emily
and Caitlin.
And y'all are the founders and...
Founders / executive directors of the festival.
Okay. What were some of the challenges? This is the fourth year you guys have been doing this. What were some of the challenges from growing from year one to year four?
Oh, year one to year four, you skipped...
Sorry. Okay. Year three to year four. We'll go. Okay.
All right, year three to year four. I mean, I think we don't know them yet, being the opening night, but I think really the biggest thing will be seeing what a sold-out crowd really feels like. We it's to a certain extent a festival. It's an arbitrary number. You try to add up all the venues and get the seats. It's not like selling tickets to a single concert where you have X number of seats. So we think we've done a good estimate of what that will be, and we hope to see that it is the perfect sort of filled out crowd this year.
How far ahead do you guys do your planning for guests? Like, when do you start thinking about it?
We have already started planning 2016,
okay,
and are already a few months into 2016. So I would say, I mean, really a year and a half out for the big ones.
Okay.
Yeah, the reunion.
The big ones. But then, I mean, there's some that come together 2 weeks beforehand. So it's, I mean, all year long. But we've definitely already started working on 2016.
Okay.
And we started working, I mean, on Gilmore Girls a year and a half ago. So,
yeah.
What's the, what would you say the general ethos of ATX Festival is?
I mean, we say this a lot. I think it's sort of the fan meets industry and the intimate and accessible crowd. We are not a convention. We are not a conference. We are sort of an interesting hybrid of television meets festival. It's a unique sort of combination, but I think it's one that makes a whole lot of sense. Television is a community. Festivals are a community, and that's what we kind of bring together.
My name is Aza Gonzalez. I play Santanica Pandemonium on From Dusk Till Dawn this year.
So Santanica is a pretty bad girl. So how do you play someone like that and make her sympathetic?
I think that the beauty of this character is that she is so dimensional. She is, I think she has a very strong character because at the end of the day, like any other queen, she's a vampire queen, but she is a queen herself. So I think that she has this whole energy of, like, I think she's very grounded. I think the grounds of the character, you when you see her in scenes, she, the energy she manages is very different from other people or from other culebras. So I love that. But yet, this season, you get to see a very broken side of her, a very sensitive and very emotional side of the character, which really feeds it in a beautiful way. And I think it really makes the character grow. And people that are fans of the original Salma Hayek did for like 5 minutes in the movie now get to like really develop the character fully and see all the depths of it. So the fans of the original character are going to get to see this whole beauty side of the character, and you get to see how evil she can be because of her nature of being a culebra. You know, you see the evilness and how she's like a basic, she's very basic. This works, this doesn't work. If this doesn't work, move on. Like, she doesn't complicate like a normal human, you know, and that's the beauty of the character, because you see the character of Richie Gecko really in the bias and the situation with, like, he still fights with that human side of her, of him, and she's like poker face. She just doesn't, she's like very, she has very clear which, where she's going, what she wants. So it's really interesting to see this character because it's a little bit like a secret, you know, you never really know what's going on with her.
And is there a lot of makeup work or is it mostly CGI for effects?
Oh, no. There's a lot of makeup involved. I mean, I go, KMB has done an amazing job with our makeup. I mean, this season, I've been going through processes of 4 hours. A lot of prosthetics involved. I usually use all prosthetics on my body. So it's been intense, but I love it. I think it's worth it, and it really helps. I think the fact of CGI, really, it's hard sometimes to, like, as an actor. I mean, we can do it, but it's also always easier to, like, really be embodied. For me, the fact that I have this face and these eyes and the fangs, and it really makes me get into my skin as a monster as opposed to be just like a normal person. So it really helps, and we really appreciate it because Robert and Greg, since they did the original, they're the same team doing this one, so they're very sure about what they want in the image of the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I play Seth Gecko.
Okay, and I was curious, in watching this, I thought you brought a lot of the character that I remember from the movie and yet brought your own thing.
Yeah.
How did you approach the character as someone you'd seen before, but you were coming in to bring your own thing? How did you approach the character as a...
Well, I mean, you can't think about it too much, man, to be honest with you, because I'm a giant fan like everybody else.
Sure.
You know, you turn on the internet and everybody's got a strong opinion. I'm one of those people. But... You know, at the end of the day, I'm an actor, and my job is to trust my director and to do what he wants of me. And, you know, to take on a character that Quentin created and that obviously was, you know, made and established by one of the biggest movie stars we have today is a little freaky. But I have the luxury of not doing it with someone trying to do an impression or an imitation of what George and Robert made the first time. Luckily, I'm working with Robert the same way he was the first time. So when Robert came to me and said, "You're my guy, I want you to play this character," you know, I presented him with my ideas and how I wanted to do it. And he's been very supportive and very trusting and just kind of lets me rip with it. So, you know, Robert's the ultimate safety net. So we're having a great time.
You're going to be the wrap it up. So thank you
great.
Very much.
Yeah, of course, man. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sabrina Carpenter, and I play Maya Hart on Girl Meets World.
You guys had sort of the coming out party here for Girl Meets World last year. So how does it feel to be back for year two?
It's amazing, because this year it's just Girl Meets World. Last year, or a couple years ago, it was Boy Meets World. So now, obviously, we have Ben Savage, and then we have Rowan and I, and we have Michael Jacobs. So it's going to be really fun.
What are some of the challenges of sort of carrying a legacy like that? The Boy Meets World, a lot of people grow up on and are watching Girl Meets World. What's the big difference between, are you trying to definitely be something new? Do you want to appeal to the old fans, too?
Well, I think we're always trying to be something new, but always appealing to the old fans, because they're the ones that, you know, without that show we couldn't have had this show. So we obviously have to do a lot for them to keep them happy, but I think it's more work for Ben and Danielle, honestly, to carry a legacy. I think we're creating our own show for this new generation, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback so far. We're just so grateful for all the people that are loving it and are just learning a lot.
One last question, I'll let you stop baking here. What was your favorite moment from this year?
My favorite moment from this year was, that's a good question. We filmed this episode called Girl Meets Hurricane, which is coming out in a few weeks, and it's one of my favorite episodes just because I think it's a beautiful story for Ryder Strong, for my character, and it's just a beautiful episode. It was so well written, so yeah.
So look forward to that.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rowan Blanchard, I play Riley Matthews on Girl Meets World.
Okay. And I asked this question of your co-star, but what are some of the challenges of playing a show that's got such a history to it? Do you approach the history at all, or is it all new all the time?
You know, I think we have to do both, because we have to please, you know, a group of kids who have never seen Boy Meets World, and then we have to please a group of adults who grew up with Boy Meets World and hopefully, you know, still watch Girl Meets World. So I think, you know, it's definitely something that it's kind of intimidating, especially in the beginning, having to please that entire different audience. But now I think season two, we've really established ourselves, and I think we've won that audience, which is really great. Yeah.
So you guys came down for ATX Fest before.
Yeah.
Anything in particular you're looking forward to doing here in Austin while you're here?
I lived here for 4 months,
okay.
So I really want to go to that huge Whole Foods, because that's like incredible, and I want to do the Bat Bridge. In the 4 months I lived here, I never did the Bat Bridge. Yeah.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. There'll be more of these throughout the week, and until then, TV Dudes out.